It's time for Sweet Home Cannabama, a show that'll answer all your questions, provide accurate information, and dispel the myths of cannabis. And have your specific questions answered by emailing jennifer@cannabama.com or text or call 343-0106. And now, for all things cannabis in Alabama, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to Sweet Home Cannabama. I'm Jennifer Boozer-Stewart, your host. Owner of the former Cannabama in downtown Mobile. Although we are not open, I think tomorrow will be 3 months since we closed the store. We are keeping the phone line active. That is 251-255-5155. If you have questions, if you're looking for a place to go to find the very limited amount of products still available in Alabama, I can give you recommendations. And that goes for just about every community in the state. There's somebody still trying to hold it down in most major cities, at least. Although every week we hear about more and more stores closing, despite Representative Witt's press tour denying that he's heard of any stores closing. Hopefully he's heard about it by now. But anyway, we are on Facebook, Instagram, X, LinkedIn, and YouTube tonight. And you can find us under Sweet Home Cannabama just about anywhere. Google it if you're not sure. But we are here on FM Talk 106.5 every Monday night at 7 o'clock for over 6 years, giving you all things cannabis in Alabama and around the country. So I want to say thank you to our newest sponsor, GaiaGuild.shop. If you have not checked out that website yet, that is GaiaGuild.shop, S-H-O-P. And they have product and merchandise available, memberships available. If you're in any way connected with the hemp industry, whether it be industrial applications, farming, processing, retail, advocacy work, all the things, hempcrete, insulation, fiber, all the things. You can visit GaiaGuild.shop and check that out. But the gummies that are available are the very same gummies that we used to sell at Cannabama. And Gaia Guild has those for sale. And part of those proceeds from the gummy sales will go directly to fund Sweet Home Cannabama. As you know, we used to fund it ourselves with the proceeds from the store, and we can no longer do that. So GaiaGuild.shop has graciously agreed to help us out. And we also have advertising packages available. If you would like to place a 30-second commercial ad or sponsor the show and get all of the promotion that we have through live radio and simultaneous live streaming on all of those social media platforms, you can find that information. It should be on the screen right now. If you're looking for that information, you can email me, jenniferboozerstewart@gmail.com. And we have packages that will fit just about any budget, including campaigns. So check that out, and I'll get you in touch with Cecily to set that up. And we would love to be able to help you promote your business or organization while we promote the education of the cannabis and hemp industry here in Alabama and beyond. If you're watching from the live stream, I hope you got to see the video that we just played before the show started. It's a video that Donald Trump has actually put out, and it's talking about the benefits of CBD, especially for seniors. And it's almost like a fever dream for me to see a video that explains the endocannabinoid system and talks about the benefits, particularly, and I'm not sure why they only chose the benefits for seniors, but we do know that the 65 and over crowd will be out consuming millennials in the next few years. Older people are sick and tired of being sick and tired. They're tired of walking around with bags of pills and still, you know, barely functioning and not being able to manage the side effects of those drugs, and their quality of life going down tremendously with joint pain and memory, brain fog, the ability to sleep, sore muscles, you know, your organs and your immune system not being high functioning. There's lots and lots of things caused by everything in us, around us, and on us that is slowing the body down. And up until now, you know, pharmaceutical meds are what they get. And we all know, I mean, you know, I'm 47 and I've been put on so many drugs, it's not even funny. And thankfully, I'm prescription free for 7 years now because of CBD. You know, we talk about THC so much, and all of this political stuff, trying to ban it and trying to control it and trying to, you know, hoard it all for themselves and all the things. But I think CBD often gets lost in all that, because when we first became able to sell higher THC products, I think a lot of businesses were like, well, this makes a lot more money. We're going to just focus on that. And a lot of people stopped selling CBD products altogether. We never did that. We never did that. And I've said a million times, I'm sorry if I keep repeating myself, but if I had to choose one of the many, 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 many components of cannabis, I would choose CBD every time. I would choose CBD every time, because for me, in a lot of cases, THC is more of a band-aid than a fix. And CBD gets to the root of the issue, the inflammation in the body that is in the root of every disease, disorder, and discomfort. And it gets rid of the root of the problem. So why band-aid something when you can get rid of it altogether? And 9 times out of 10, a great high-quality, full-spectrum CBD product, meaning whole plant, high CBD, is enough of an answer for most people. And, you know, contrary to what some of our esteemed legislators have said in the 2025 legislative session, most of our customers aren't coming in just looking to get high. Most of them are coming in to solve very serious and quality of life draining issues. You know, a lot of people may not think that mental health issues and sleep and restlessness and brain fog are that big a deal, but they are. If you've ever had insomnia, because I had it for 14 years and slept through the night for the first time in 14 years after my first serving of CBD, and it was absolutely life-changing for me. And so I'm happy to see that the president is trying to basically announce to the world that CBD is a great thing, that it's a very, very effective thing, especially for seniors. But, you know, there's lots of categories of people. We all have an endocannabinoid system. If you're a mammal or even a vertebrate, you have an endocannabinoid system. And so it doesn't matter what type of human you are, where you come from, what you do, who you know, what you know, you have an endocannabinoid system, and your body makes its own endo, meaning in the body, cannabinoids. When we deplete those, we eat them, just like vitamins and minerals and fatty acids and antioxidants that your body needs every day to survive and to function properly. And cannabis is made up of all those things: vitamins, minerals, fatty acids, antioxidants, terpenes. That's what gives the plants different smells. And flavonoids, that's what gives it their color. You know, all of these things have value. But for the president to put that out there is amazing. And I just want to point out, it was especially validating to me that they used the analogy of an orchestra, the conductor. I just talked about that last Monday on the show, and I've said that on the show a million times, and I've said it even more in the shop for over 7 years. I don't remember where I learned it, but that analogy, that if the central nervous system is the musicians and the peripheral nervous system is the instruments, it's the conductor is the endocannabinoid system. And if the musicians aren't practicing or the instruments are out of tune, you cannot play the symphony correctly. And it's the conductor's job to get those two things in line so that the music can be played properly and have balance. And so I thought that was very cool that they used that analogy, particularly, especially since I had just been talking about it on the show. So, you know, it as validating as all that is, it's also a little scary. Mentioning it being covered by Medicare is great, but all that says to me is maybe they're going to make it all pharmaceutical, and that's a very scary thought. I don't think Big Pharma's ever really been able to improve on much that is in nature, and it certainly probably won't end up being very natural. if it is taken over by the pharmaceutical industry. And that's a very big fear that we have across the board. You know, everybody thinks rescheduling is a step in the right direction, and it is absolutely is not the only real solution to, as far as federal law goes, is to completely deschedule it, take it off of the Controlled Substances Act so that people can have access to it and stop going to prison for it. When we come back from the break, I'm going to introduce our next guest. He is my first sitting legislator who is currently in office. I'm very excited and can't wait to introduce you to him. We'll be talking with Representative Neil Rafferty when we come back from the break. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about cannabis, here's your host, Jennifer Booser.
Welcome back, everybody. Tonight, I'm going to be introducing you to sitting House Representative Neil Rafferty. I want to read a little bit of his bio in his own words so you know exactly who we're talking to tonight. As a proud veteran of the United States Marine Corps and native to Birmingham, Alabama, I fervently believe in serving our country, our state, and our local community. I feel it is my duty and my responsibility to give back when so much has been given to me. That's why, after serving in the military, I used my GI benefits to earn degrees from the University of Alabama at Birmingham. From there, I went on to serve as program director at BAO in Birmingham to advance the needs of our communities underserved. These experiences inspired me to seek public office because I began to see the impact of state laws on the daily lives of the people I was trying to help. I knew that together we could bring smart solutions to the problems facing our district and our state. I made a commitment to listen and ensure that all the voices in my community were heard. In 2018, I was elected to serve the people of House District 54 in the Alabama House of Representatives. As a representative, I also serve as the House Democratic Whip, and I am chair of the Democratic House Caucus Platform Committee. In the legislature, I am a member on the following committees: Sunset, Health, Economic Development and Tourism, Constitutions, Campaigns, and Elections. This work has taught me about the power of collaboration and the importance of innovative thinking. So without further ado, I would like to introduce you to Representative Neil Rafferty. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Yes, I'm very excited to talk to you. I have been working with Marty Shelper at the Alabama Cannabis Coalition for a long time, and you have been endorsed by the Alabama Cannabis Coalition and Republicans against marijuana prohibition. This will be your third time. So I have vicariously followed you and fallen in like with you. We're big fans at Alabama Cannabis Coalition, and Marty speaks so highly of you, and everyone I've ever mentioned your name to does the same. So it's an honor and a privilege to have you as a guest tonight.
Oh, I'm happy to be here.
All right, well, let's get into it.
Let's do it.
Tell us a little bit about your service. You were in the military, and now you've become a legislator. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I am a veteran of the United States Marine Corps. I served between the years of 2005 and 2009, then went to UAB, couldn't figure out what it was I exactly wanted to do, so ended up getting degrees in political science, English, as well as biology.
Wow.
Started work in nonprofit world for a while, for about 12 years at Birmingham AIDS Outreach, working in public health in that capacity, and then eventually decided to was asked to run for office, and did it, felt called to do it, and been doing my thing ever since. So it's a proud thing that I served the people of Alabama and the people of House District 54. Some of my big priorities have been things like expanding healthcare, making sure healthcare is, you know, quality, affordable,
right,
accessible, making sure that education and health literacy are up there, as well as innovation. I think there needs to be a lot of innovative approaches to the modern challenges that we have facing us here as a state, as a country, and as individual communities. So these have all kind of been my big priorities. I've been pushing forward to bring Birmingham, where I represent, as well as Alabama and the whole state forward.
So. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Birmingham. I love any excuse at all to go to Birmingham.
Yeah.
My favorite restaurant on the planet is in downtown Birmingham. And so anytime I get a chance to go up there, I've made some amazing connections up there never, ever disappointed. I stay in a different hotel every time just so I could kind of experience a little bit more of the city. And it's really beautiful up there. It's got, you know, like hills. We don't have much of that down here in subtropical South Alabama.
That's true.
We do have the beaches, though, and that's where y'all all come all summer and clog up the tunnel and the I-10 bridge.
Hey, I try to get through it as smoothly and as safely as possible to enjoy Alabama's premier beaches like everyone else.
But, I've almost been late to do the show a couple times because I moved across the bay when I got married a few months ago, and I'm not used to having to commute across the bay to be somewhere on time. And it almost got me this summer. Birmingham is awesome, and I've gotten to do some really awesome stuff with some awesome people up there. So. Thank you for your service, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah. My honor.
And now, this past session, didn't you help pass legislation to remove tax from feminine products and baby products?
Didn't help. That was my bill.
I did not mean to downplay that. Please enlighten us real quick, because I was fascinated by that. I heard a little bit about it. In case you hadn't heard, I was carpet bombed by bills myself.
Yeah.
So I heard tell of a bill about feminine products and baby products, but I didn't know a whole lot about it. So tell us about that.
Yeah, so all this bill does is, you know, you might know that the state sales tax on anything is about 4%.
Right.
So this removed the state portion of the sales tax from baby formula, diapers, both adult and baby diapers.
Nice.
As well as maternity clothes, formula. Breast pump equipment, as well as feminine hygiene products.
So, oh, wow. I didn't realize it was that extensive.
It actually goes pretty far. It shouldn't cost the state very much money. I think the fiscal note on that was only like $17 million, mm-hmm. or $13 million, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
But it should go pretty far for, you know, Alabama's working families, and that was kind of the goal, to really help the folks that lift up this lift up our state and keep moving it forward.
Right. Well, and combined with
more roadblocks there.
Right. Combined with the lack of delivery rooms and pediatricians' offices in so many counties, you know, having a baby in Alabama, especially rural Alabama, not really a pleasant experience from what I hear. I had one baby here and two babies in Louisiana, which isn't really much better. But, you know, the burden, you know, a lot of people live, you know, they skirt that poverty line. And even when they don't, it's an expensive endeavor to have children. And so that is a blessing. Mm-hmm. I know that the grocery tax decrease was nice, but it's like, am I really going to notice 1%? But 4%, you know, especially at the price of things, that's a really significant savings for young families. So way to go on that one for sure.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Yes. Okay. Well, what, you know, everybody's running for re-election this coming year, right? I mean, so give us a little overview of what your platform issues are going into this re-election season.
Well, you know, my top priorities with my background, public health and working in education for various components throughout my career, it's definitely focusing on healthcare, it's education and innovation. I think we made some terrific strides that way, mm-hmm. Incremental change, pushing us forward that way. This next go around, you just got to keep pushing it, going further. In fact, you know, when we come to innovation, we need to think about cost of living, how to bring down the cost of living for everyday Americans, everyday Alabamians, mm-hmm. And still have revenue streams able to fund the essential services that the state provides, such as schools, right?
Right.
Such as highways, roads, the things that get us to and fro.
Right.
So these are still really important issues. These are still really important topics. I think that the work just is simply not done on.
Right.
And we got to keep pushing forward. So I'm going to keep on that.
Yeah, I agree.
My big thing.
We don't score very high on the totem pole when it comes to healthcare and things like that compared to the other states, unfortunately. And, it seems like a massive, massive undertaking to try and fix that. And I couldn't even begin to imagine what it's like for that to be your job, to get together with a bunch of other people from a bunch of other areas and say, okay, what are we going to do? And then get everybody to agree. You know, I mean, that's
the tricky part, right?
Right.
That's where the trade craft comes down.
Right. Well, and, you know, you throw in lobbyists and special interest groups and, you know, who's a fan of the president or not. And, oh, it's so complicated to get anything really accomplished. I know there's hundreds and hundreds of bills that get presented every session, and only a fraction of those get heard, and even a smaller fraction of those get passed. So
right.
I imagine it's like, you know, I don't know. I'm not a very patient person. So every time someone's like, you should run for office, I'm like, I will kill someone. You know, I'll get in there and get thrown out in the first hearing. I know. Hey, look, the Lord is still working on me every day. But yeah, I mean, I think too, a lot of people that have been in office for 30, 40, 50 years, I saw Wagner's running again after 60 years. That's crazy to me. That's crazy to me. I think that, you know, younger people such as yourself, I know Representative Gray and people like that are younger and newer to this, you know, we need some fresh minds and some fresh blood. And, you know, obviously in a lot of areas in Alabama, what we've been doing isn't really working. And so we need to find fresh ways to do a lot of things, you know, and find ways, like you said, to lower the cost of living. Right now, it's every avenue of making a living and the cost of housing and vehicles and even food. It's completely out of control. And, you know, I'm especially akin to paying attention to those things now because I've been unemployed for 3 months and trying to figure out how do I make this little dollar stretch in a way I haven't had to do in my adult life before, and it sucks.
Right.
It really does suck to go, well, I can pay this or I can pay this. What do I do? When we come back from the break, we're going to speak more with Representative Neil Rafferty. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about cannabis, here's your host, Jennifer Booser.
Welcome back, everybody, to Sweet Home Cannabama. We're here every Monday night at 7 o'clock right here on FM Talk 106.5 and live streaming on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, X, and LinkedIn. We're talking tonight with Representative Neil Rafferty from District 54, which is the Birmingham area. How do you feel? Let's get into the meat of why I asked you to be on the show. How did you feel about the passage of HB 445 in the 2025 legislative session? Were you in any of the committee hearings? I can't remember. I was kind of a mental block that I have now because it was such a bad experience. But did you get to hear any of that testimony that was given by Representative Witt or Senator Melson?
So with the passage, I can tell you kind of conceptually in this kind of bigger idea as far as what the bill was, at least what the legislature was told was trying to accomplish, was good. But then it ended up being kind of this overregulation that protected special interests as opposed to protecting small businesses that have been deeply affected by this, either affected by directly by the rules, by the law and the statute, or by kind of the confusion and the lack of clarity that the law does not provide for. So I think there's been a lot of issues with that.
Right.
You know, for me, I was in the committee hearing. Yes, I was in there. I was always a no vote, and I was always a no vote on it, even in committee, because I knew it was going to take these products out of the hands of places where they're already selling, you know, wine and beer and other alcohol products.
Right.
So, and that wasn't, and, you know, I'm thinking of my corner store down here in Crestwood, and I have a small business owner here who's built that business from the ground up, who was a responsible vendor. You know, he already has his ABC license, is already selling beer and wine, and has proven, and since I've been here at least, so for 12 years, he has been responsibly vending this stuff and has not had any issue.
Right.
So I don't know why he couldn't be tasked with the same responsibility of selling these products, you know, to 21 and to only to adults there.
Right.
But I think there was a big issue conceptually with making sure that, you know, I think everybody across the state was getting these phone calls from their from the constituents about kids getting a hold of it, taking it to school, whatever, pranking. It's really poisoning, but pranking these kids.
Right.
And you know, without their, which non-consensual, this is that, which is absolutely inappropriate.
Right. Adults do that too. A lot of people say, I overconsumed because somebody handed me a gummy. I don't know what it was, how much it was. And I'm like, that's the dumbest thing you could ever do is just take an edible from someone with zero information. But yes,
absolutely.
I can see how that would happen too. And there are people too. I found out after the fact, I did a lot of digging into where are these high school kids actually getting this? Because I know I wasn't selling it.
Right.
I know none of the people I know. And I found out a lot about them buying them on Snapchat and getting it mailed from other states and all sorts of places. There are absolutely people out there who are breaking the rules. There always are. There are people that sell beer to kids, nicotine to kids. Why not hemp too, you know? But the vast majority of responsible retailers, especially the hemp-only dispensaries and the hemp and vape shops who were, you know, IDing people on their own, you know, self-regulating.
Way before it was even, you know, way before it was even
to
a requirement, because they just did not want to sell to kids. I mean, it's part of being a responsible vendor.
Right.
And I think a lot of responsible vendors got nailed with this, who were opening thriving, successful small businesses that were providing a service and goods to their communities.
Mm-hmm.
And now those businesses are closing across the state.
Yeah.
So
I think I might have been one of the first, because we decided, we were in court on June 30th trying to get a TRO. And when we did not get that, I had already started clearing out my shop, and I knew, and it was a Monday, so I had to come here 2 hours after that ruling and bawled like a baby on the show making the announcement because we were going to close before midnight. I did not want to take any chances. This law was so, there's parts of the law that are so vague and so unclear and so out there in left field that they still cannot tell us 3 months in.
Right.
They still cannot definitively tell us what they mean by the word synthetic, you know? And, and then there's the gray area about it's not that the plant material is banned per se, but it cannot be marketed as smokable. And that's confusing. And I was not going to take the chance of letting law enforcement come in and besmirch my reputation, and because I'm the one out here louder than anybody else going, we don't break the law. Why are you doing this? You know, we don't, by and large, we aren't breaking the law. We're making up our own rules. We want regulation. And I think, you know, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but the vast majority of the narrative was save the children. And this is for a few bad actors. And we're just getting it out of gas stations. That's the things we heard the most. And that, I could have pulled my hair out. And then you have to hold decorum in those hearings and those meetings and those votes. You have to sit there and let them say whatever they're going to say. And unfortunately, because of the massive number of bills, and in my experience with these bills, they were being handed over after the hearing had already started, and they're expected to know what the bill even says.
Right.
You know, and
well,
it's a lot.
It is. It is a lot. It's even like, I know that the Senate changed the bill at one point. It had to come down for concurrence. And I think there was a lot of confusion as far as what was going on there. I wasn't, in the state house that day. I had a family emergency, but
I was there and it was insane. It was insane.
Was clarity even asked for? What are the changes? What are we concurring on here?
Or was there was a little meeting over in the corner at one point, and then Singleton said, Senator Singleton wanted to add something to it. Senator Smitherman wanted them to add back in the smokable flower, saying that it would devastate our businesses, and that didn't, that didn't fly. And again, Melson just said, oh, it's just going to get it out of gas stations. And then 4 seconds later, it was passed, and we were like, wait, well, what just happened? We didn't actually even know what the final bill said until after it was over with, and later that evening we finally got a copy of what was actually passed. Witt's version in the House said smoke or vapor, that vapes weren't allowed, but Melson's Senate version, which is what passed, just said smokable, did not mention vapor at all. And I know that since the ABC rules have the preliminary rules have come out, they're now trying to add in language saying smoke or a vapor heated with a device, and putting words into the rules that aren't at all in the bill. And there's just a massive amount of confusion. And, we're just kind of, a lot of the businesses that are still opening, open and functioning, are looking around like, any day now someone's going to come in here and tell me I'm doing something wrong. I just don't know what it is.
Right.
And that's not fair. And the warrantless seizure thing, wow, that was a kick in the teeth too, to know that they could come in without a warrant and take everything. And once they take it, it's gone. And that will financially devastate you, even if nothing you're doing is wrong and your products are all above board. There's just too many pitfalls in this bill to make it feasible to stay in business.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, too many liabilities almost, because there are so many open-ended questions still here. And as they're trying to build the plane while they're flying it. I think that they're flying it straight into a mountain, mountainside. So
yeah. Well, testimony that was given by Representative Witt was so wrong. It just was wrong. The example of a 50 milligram gummy being equal to a bottle of 80 proof vodka, per the CDC, that is not at all what the CDC website says about THC and vodka or anything. That is not at all what it said, but it was presented as fact. And I think, I don't know who decides what they say when they get up there, if they do or what, but anybody with Google can go and look that up. It's just not true.
Right.
And calling it grass in a glass and saying the cycling frog. He said, well, I guess if you drink one of these, you might feel like a frog on a bicycle. And I'm just what is happening? Is this reality? Because this is our lives. And and the whole time you're sitting there, you're thinking about your customers and what they're going to do. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I think we're in desperate need of some reform and desperate need of some clarity. So I think in reform matters, we definitely need to be making sure that we are talking about dosing, appropriate labeling, not marketing to kids, clear labeling showing that it does have THC in it.
Right.
I think all those, and testing, I think all those things are very important. And I think that that's what most of the legislature was thinking was going forward with this bill.
Right.
The problem is that I think a lot of special interests got involved to protect their own, and not worried about what was going on with the whole state, making sure that there was fair competition for innovation, for freedom, and, you know, kind of the freedom to be, you know, of enterprise and being able to set up your own business when the federal law is ambiguous enough to allow that to happen. So
yeah.
I think that, you know, there's things that should be done, and I think that everyone is on the same page as far as that goes.
Yeah. So, well, and a free market is never bad. A free market improves things like innovation, because in order to stay a viable business, you have to compete, and that is a good thing.
Yep.
And I think that's one of the ways that the medical cannabis community has gone way wrong, is only allowing a handful of people, because why try if you don't have any competition? You know, the competition is exactly why I know we have much higher quality products in the unregulated hemp industry than a lot of dispensaries in legal states do. Because there is that level of competition and innovation and the freedom for anybody who has the time, the money, and the effort to get into it to really get in there and shine. And that's exactly what we've been doing. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk more with Representative Neil Rafferty about the hemp industry in Alabama. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about cannabis, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm your host, Jennifer Boozer Stewart. We're talking tonight with Representative Neil Rafferty from Birmingham, House District 54. Let's get right back into it. I know that you talked about how healthcare is a big issue for you in your platform. Why do you believe that Alabamians should have access to plant medicine?
Because I think you already kind of discussed a little bit this at the beginning of the story. I think it does have medicinal properties that people can benefit from.
Yeah.
I think that making it illegal or pushing it to illegal just pushes a viable medicine into the black market to be, you know, sold right next to OxyContin and cocaine. So I don't feel like that's a good move. I think that we're seeing more and more of that on some, with some of the bills that have already been pre-filed about this and just go on and outright ban it.
Right.
But I don't think we're thinking this all the way through, that we're talking about responsible adults, responsible vendors, and responsible consumers here. We're not talking about illicit drug use.
Right, exactly.
Which is where you're going to be pushing this if you try to ban it outright.
Right.
Just because it's against the law does not mean that it leads the streets and otherwise.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's
right.
Not the way
no.
it works.
Well, and the fact that they created a Class C felony in HB 445 where actual illegal, federally illegal street weed is a misdemeanor, and even fentanyl possession is a lesser charge, I think that is a bridge way too far. Way too far.
Yeah, me too. Exactly.
It's going to hurt a lot of people in a very permanent way. And the fact that it is a federally legal product today and has been legal in the state of Alabama for 7 years to suddenly become such a huge infraction of the law and have such massive consequences is absolutely ridiculous. And it makes no sense on a surface level. It makes no sense. And there are people that call me now that don't even know that flower is a Class C felony. So I think, you know, we're lucky that so many people have been paying attention and haven't been risking it, because I thought we would see more arrests on this, but they definitely did a good job. And we did a good job, you know, trying to fight it and explaining this will make you a felon. And I think that's why the day it went into effect, or the day the governor signed it, our sales all dropped, because they didn't understand it wasn't immediately in effect. Well, what about veterans? Exactly. You're a veteran. You know people who have dealt with everything from traumatic brain injury and PTSD to amputations and you know, IED injuries. There's so many ways that veterans come home damaged, and the conventional medicine and VA system is failing them. And homelessness, addiction, suicide, you know, all those things. And it's such a shame. So, I mean, I'm sure you have feelings about access for veterans as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, many vets that I talk to, that I'm still friends with, communicate with, particularly in other states, you know, where they have access to, where, you know, their medicinal marijuana commission isn't a total
embarrassment.
That's the better word.
I said it. I'll take credit for it.
Well, I had a more colorful expression for that, but
yeah, I'm picking up what you're putting down
online. Yeah, right. Which again was overregulation and a whole bunch of special interests coming to the table, trying to say what's happening. That's why it's gotten into a logjam.
Right.
But, you know, they've really benefited from it for one way or another. Anecdotally, they are saying I could sleep better. I'm in a better mood. I can go back to work. All sorts of things that you know that they weren't able to do beforehand because of their debilitating conditions that they were coming back with.
Right.
You know, a lot of PTSD and TBI patients do struggle with sleep. They have nightmares. They have other sorts of things. They have a lot of anxiety. And I'm not saying that it's the right thing for all of them,
right.
But it is the right thing for some of them.
And they should have the choice.
Absolutely. Particularly if it's between that and something that's probably more damaging to the system, like a benzodiazepine or something like that, that can really create addiction and even give you seizures if you go off of it suddenly.
Right.
We don't see that same kind of thing here with THC and definitely not with CBD.
Right. So. Absolutely. I agree with that. I have a lot of veterans in my family, and veterans are always close to my heart. We're getting ready to do another year where we do an entire month of show on veterans issues, because one show every once in a while and one discussion is just not enough. You know, we've got to talk about it more and talk about how the people who are doing the most for the masses are getting the least when they come home. Yeah. And that is just wrong. And we want to do something about that. And I'm lucky to know a ton of veterans within the industry, and they have found their calling, being able to grow the medicine that helps them and their brothers in arms. And it's a very beautiful relationship between the cannabis industry and the veteran community. And in states like Texas and Missouri, where they were able to avoid an all-out ban, it was largely due to the testimony of veterans. So I think that the veteran community will benefit. It's one of the micro communities that would benefit the most from having this product available. I know I had them in there every day. And now they don't know where to go. And I think that's a shame.
Right.
What would you like to see? If we could take 445 and throw it out the window, what would you like to see happen with the regulation of hemp going forward?
I would like to see that we just make sure that it's clearly marked on the product that it is THC product. You know, like if you've ever been to Colorado or anything along those lines, you've seen that they have clear packaging. It
right.
is absolutely evident exactly what you're buying and exactly what you're getting.
Yes.
And I would like to see something more along those lines, where it's very responsible, regulated vending of the stuff to adults.
Right. So an age gate.
Where,
basically, we call that an age gate. When you have to be 21 or older to enter the business or make a purchase from the business. And there are scanners that they use to scan people's IDs to make sure they're not fake IDs. Lots of ways you can use to keep this out of the hands of kids.
Absolutely. And 445 just doesn't that was the auspices of why it was being passed and kind of pushed through.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what the end result would be. So I would also like to see, you know, consistent dosing, just to make sure that folks know exactly what they're buying, exactly what to get. So, and good, you know, good solid laboratory testing. These are things that the market, that the industry was already doing on
right.
its own,
right?
That responsible vendors were already doing. So it's pretty much just allowing for those responsible vendors that were already doing these things and not have to make enormous disruptive, you know, practices to their business,
right?
But just make sure. And doubling down on making sure that, it, you know, we're protecting kids and protecting the public by making sure they know exactly what they're getting when they're buying a product from one of your stores.
Right. So, packaging and testing standards are at the forefront of any good regulation. I don't think
absolutely.
There's anybody that would argue that those aren't top priority along with the age gate. And I also believe, as a retailer who has never had to have a specialty license, I think
right.
we should definitely have a retailer's license and a fee, because at the end of the day, when bad actors can be blamed but nobody knows who they are, that's not mm-hmm. okay with me, because then the whole class gets punished for one kid's, you know, misbehavior, and that's not fair.
Right.
And that's you know, it was said a bunch of times, we're going to do this for the few bad actors. Well, the few bad actors are going to keep doing what they do because criminals don't follow laws. The ones
absolutely.
The ones who were being punished are the consumers and the businesses who were above board. So I think – and the milligram caps, again, you know, that was meant to make it only for people who really, really need it. Well, guess what? The dosage is so low that those are only good for recreational usage, and the exact opposite of what I think was sold to you guys who were voting in order to pass that. So, the rest of it, you know, is arbitrary. But, yeah, age gate, mm-hmm. packaging standards, testing standards, and licensing, so we know who all the actors are, good or bad. And when someone
yep.
breaks those rules, we know who, you know, they can find them. They could take their license, shut down their business. Before we close, and thank you so much for being here tonight and for helping me hash this out. Where can we find you to support your campaign, learn more about what you are doing in the legislature?
Yeah, so, RepRafferty.com is my website. Feel free to go visit that. Have a little look around. You know, I'm also on social media as just at RepRafferty, so you can find me on there as well. So please go check it out. Send me an email, get in contact with me, let me know kind of what your thoughts are and what you're feeling.
Thank you so much for being with us tonight, Representative Rafferty.
Thank you.
And we'll be back here every Monday night next week. I don't even know who we're going to have. I haven't decided. But God bless y'all, and God bless Alabama Hemp. Good night.